But let's get to one of Australian sport's biggest names, Kate Campbell, who's in Copenhagen at the moment, heads to London this weekend. She's dominated the World Cup Series finale in Doha, like she did in Kazan not long ago, and she's with us on The Breakfast Club. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
Great to have you with us, particularly, Kate, in such hot form after this World Cup Series that you've been dominating. How are you feeling about the world at the moment?
Thanks. Yeah, it's been great. I've been on the road for 8 weeks now. So I'm coming up for my 7th competition this weekend. So it's been busy. I don't think I've been in one place longer than 6 days. So I've got like the packing and unpacking down to a fine art.
Well, you're better than me. I couldn't do that. I don't know how you do that, living in and out of the suitcase as often as you do for as long as you do. So you're better than me, but you get some rewards too, because you've had a really good couple of weeks in this World Cup Series. You took the 100-metre freestyle in 52.61 the other day on Saturday, ahead of Bronte and Michelle Coleman from Sweden. Came a couple of days after you took out the 50 free, in holding out the same two in different order. Are you swimming as well as you hoped you would at this time in preparation for an Olympic campaign?
Yeah, I guess that the reason that I decided to come away and do all of this racing is that I really want to get as many races under my belt as possible. It's something that as Australians we don't get to do as much. Europeans have a big European league where they can come and do as many races as they want, and Americans often go through college systems, so they get what we call race fit, whereas in Australia we're just a long way from the rest of the world, and so we don't get to race the rest of the world as often, you know. I'm used to obviously racing Bronte or a couple of the other Australians, but it's really different when you're standing behind the blocks and you've got some big international names to race against. And so yeah, that's why I wanted to do as much racing as possible. And my coach gave me the option. He was like, you can stay in Australia and train, or you can go to Europe and race. And I was like, I think I'll go to Europe and race, thank you very much.
It's an interesting one, Kate, because often at an Olympic Games particularly, it's spoken about the Americans and how much racing they do, whether it's through college or whether it's through trials or whatever it is. They do talk about that as being a key factor in one of the reasons why America is so good at swimming.
Yeah, it teaches you to stand up and perform no matter what condition you're in. So, you know, and ultimately when you get and you stand behind the blocks in the final, it doesn't matter if you're tired, it doesn't matter if you're jet-lagged, it doesn't matter if you're not feeling 100%, all of that doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is who gets the hand on the wall first and who has the quickest time. So I really learned over these past couple of months to try and put aside anything that I'm feeling. If I'm feeling tired or, you know, an injury flaring up, to try and shelve that, because they don't hand out first prize for... She swam the best time, even though she was the most jet-lagged. So, I wish they did, because I went from Australia to Europe and then to America and then back to Europe all in about 3 weeks, and my body clock was all over the place.
Yeah, I can imagine. So just narrowing that down a little bit about what you're trying to improve, is it things like starts? Is it things like tumble turns? Is it things like... being able to keep the form in the water, you know, pushing to the wall? What are the sort of things you're trying to do to get a little bit of an edge going into next year?
It's pretty much executing the best possible race on the day. So whatever condition I'm in, I want to put together a performance that is an accurate reflection of how I'm feeling. So I want to get 100% out of myself. And obviously I'm not... In peak fitness or peak strength, and I haven't done a whole heap of training. We're still quite early in our season, so I'm not going to be swimming super world class times or times that would win at a world championship or an Olympic Games. But I want to be swimming times that are competitive, at least, and that's what I've been able to do really consistently. And if you can do that consistently, you almost like begin to program your brain so that when you get into a stressful situation and a stressful environment, you can kind of think back like, hey, I've been here, I've been in similar situations before, I know what to do, and you can just kind of go on to autopilot, which is much less stressful.
Well, Kate, your career has involved many ups and downs, and we've ridden those all with you. So you talk about being able to cope with those stressful situations. What is it for you? When you're standing there, what is it for you that no matter what your condition is, you can race the best race that you possibly can at that stage?
Yeah, I think it's about kind of having belief in yourself, and it's something that Australians actually don't do particularly well. It's something that Americans do very well. They have a bit of swagger about them. Australians are very humble. We're typically known as the underdog, but in doing that, we can kind of discredit how good we actually are, and you kind of think, oh, but, you know, it's just little me doing things that I've always done, and I'm not that good. But it's and doing that, you kind of don't believe in yourself quite enough. So it's not about being arrogant. It's just about saying, you know what? I have worked for this. Look at all my past results. Like, I am the best in the world, or I'm amongst the best in the world. I deserve to be here. And having that belief and having that mindset and being okay with having that mindset is something that I've really learned to do over the past couple of years.
Yeah, that's great to hear, because it can be challenging to kind of have that really positive mindset at different times. What was it like over in Doha? We saw vision from the Athletics World Cup a couple of months ago where there weren't that many people around. What was the experience like over there for you and the swimmers?
It's a very hot country. It's a very unique place. I think it's great that they're getting involved in sports because I think that it brings a real international flavour. As a female, I find it quite an oppressive place because it is very restrictive, and it's obviously a Muslim state. But you know, I am coming from a Western perspective, and so it's slightly different. But in saying that, they managed to pack out the stands, and everyone got inside and got around all the swimmers, which is really great to see. And I think that they are trying to bring more sport to the country. Fortunately, we could compete indoors. I didn't have to run a marathon at midnight in 30-degree heat, which there's a few question marks over that one, but...
That would have been amazingly challenging to do that. And can you expand a little bit on some of those challenges of being a woman in that kind of environment? Because you're there, you're in your swimmers, you're competing. And, you know, I guess there is a really stark difference between what you experience, for example, over here in Australia at home and over there.
Yeah, and it can be quite difficult, and it can be quite challenging. And I always, whenever I go to a new place, I want to be respectful of their customs. But at the same time, my sport and my profession demands that I be so disrespectful.
Yeah, it would be a really strange thing.
You know, yeah. So I think that it's about going about doing what you would normally do in a racing environment. But then if you do venture out, if you visit any of the markets, being respectful and considerate of the place that you're in and the people you're with and their culture.
Well, that's a nice way to do it, I reckon. Hey, Kate, you made a bucket load of cash the last little bit. This is outstanding stuff. We often talk about our Olympic athletes, or certainly have for the last couple of generations, about how difficult it is to make ends meet. Now, it's turned around a little bit for the stars of the sport, and I think you absolutely fit into that. But how big a relief is it to know that there's a bit in the back pocket so you don't have to worry about where the next deal's coming from so you can keep performing at your level?
Yeah, to be honest, that's a real bonus. I'm not going to lie. I think I've made more money this year than probably in my entire life combined.
Is that right?
It's still a little bit surreal, and I kind of don't know what to do with it. My dad, who's my accountant, is tearing his hair out. figure it all out for my tax. God bless the man.
What have you done, Kate? Have you gone on a spending spree?
I haven't bought anything yet. I haven't officially been paid yet, so I'm just like waiting for it to hit the bank account before I start spending. But yeah, I think that when I get back to Australia, I'll definitely have to figure out something, a little treat. Treat for myself.
I reckon you deserve a treat, absolutely. And you're off to the International Swimming League this weekend in London. Now, that's been formed in the last couple of years. Is that a successful format? Is that catching on?
Yeah, so this is a brand new swim league. This is actually its first year.
The new one?
And Yeah, the idea behind it is to split us up into teams. So I'm racing for the London Roar. There are six teams this year, so three European teams, four European teams and four US teams. And we're kind of all competing against each other. And it's really exciting. It's kind of a little bit like what 2020 is to test cricket. So it's a short, fast format. There are no prelims, no heat sessions. It's just straight finals. It's all short course. And it's really to try and make swimming more entertaining. You know, swimming is very traditional, and we've done the same thing for a really long time. But we do need to move with the times. And if we can have this league to attract a new audience, and, you know, I'm here on the radio talking about it, so get more people talking about swimming in between the Olympic years, that's kind of the goal of it. So my team looks like it'll qualify for the finals, which are going to be held in Las Vegas in December. So, got one more kind of competition this weekend in London, and then hopefully all things going well, our team should qualify for the finals in Las Vegas, which should be really great.
Yeah, absolutely. You sort of half answered my question, Kate, around, we talked about this a lot on this show, that it didn't seem that long ago that swimming was prime time on Channel 9, even just swimming trials, not even, you know, world championships. And you know, so many household names were Australian swimmers. You're still one of those, but it's not as significant as it once was. Do you think Australian swimming needs to do something different, or is it just there's so many other sports now? What's your view on that overall picture?
Yeah, it's really difficult, because I can remember growing up and obviously watching the swimming on Channel 9, and Ray Warren was commentating. Yep. And it's one of those memories that's kind of burned into my brain. And then I think that we went to a digital channel, so we didn't renew the contract with Channel 9 and went to Channel 10, who put us on 11, which was their sports channel at the time, for digital TV. And at the time, not many people had digital TV. So for about 2 or 3 years, between the time it took for people to upgrade their televisions to digital TV, swimming kind of just dropped off television. And I don't think that we've ever really quite recovered from that. And so I think that having more competitions and giving people more opportunities to talk about swimming, to watch swimming. There are now a whole heap of online platforms that you can use to watch. And I know that Channel 7, through their app, are broadcasting this new International Swim League. It's giving people an opportunity to watch swimming, but they have to know about it. I'd love to see it back on prime time, and I think that Olympic trials next year will be broadcast, and after the Olympic Games, and hopefully we can continue that momentum and get something kind of right back to the top of the sporting pyramid. But yeah, it is tough, because we're now competing against so many other sports as well.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point. And I just wonder whether sometimes, this is a bit sort of deep and meaningful, but when the Olympic athletes are under so much spotlight every 4 years, and the pressure is so intense, not having that pressure and exposure every week of the year, or at least through every year, does that mean that potentially athletes find it harder to perform, because all of a sudden the intensity is there, but it's not often? Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, it is really tough. I always think that if someone wrote down swimming as a job description, no one would apply for the job. It's, you know, you've got, you know, 30 plus in intensive hours of physical training a week. You get your chance to perform for, in my case, it's less than a minute, once every 4 years.
Yeah.
And that's it. So you're doing all of that training and all of that hard work, and your one chance to kind of make it, it comes around once every 4 years. Not many people would sign up for that job.
No.
So it's all swimmers are a little bit crazy. So I think that it does put a lot of pressure on swimmers, especially because they know that if you're successful at an Olympic Games, it can potentially set you up for the rest of your life. And even though we have World Championships and Commonwealth Games in the years in between, it doesn't quite carry that level of prestige, and it shouldn't. You know, an Olympic Games is the pinnacle of our sport, but there's so much luck involved in peaking in time for an Olympic Games. I was kind of in at the final of the 50 freestyle at Rio, the difference between coming first or sixth was 0.12 of a second. That's the length of time it takes for you to blink an eye. So your opportunity to win or to come sixth, to be a hero or to be someone who no one remembers, is literally the blink of an eye, and that comes around once every 4 years. So it's, you know, it's an incredible amount of stress, an incredible amount of pressure that we put on these athletes to go out and perform. And yeah, quite often we don't cut them any slack, you know, when it literally comes down to a blink of an eye.
I don't think I'm the only one in the listening audience that just blinked our eyes a few times to see how fast that was, Kate, either.
That's quick.
Just by the way, it's pretty quick.
It sounds like, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you're more comfortable with all of that now than perhaps what you were, because obviously we all want you to win gold medals for Australia at the Olympic Games, but as you said, there is an element of luck to it. Do you feel now that you're more comfortable with all of that?
Yeah, I think that, well, I mean, this will be my fourth Olympics, so
that's
my fourth time around
the
Mulberry Bush, which is, and I think that I've learned to sit back and appreciate that for an achievement in itself.
Absolutely.
Whereas before it was always like, okay, this is great, I've done that, let's go on to the next thing. I never kind of took a moment to stop and appreciate how much I've achieved. And I think that looking back on my career now, if it ended tomorrow, I could look back and be really happy. I've achieved almost everything that you can do in my sport, and I've been amongst the top in the world for over 10 years now, which in itself is a big achievement. I think it's kind of strange in Australia to be considered a good swimmer. You have to be the best in the world, not just once, but multiple times. So we're quite unique in that as well. The public perception and the public expectation on swimmers is quite high. So I think that for myself, if I can look back at my career and I can be happy with it, it makes me less stressed about going into an Olympic Games. I'm not worried that my future happiness or my future success depends on a blink of an eye. I kind of have a bit more perspective, and I'll be happy with whatever the outcome in saying that I'm still working incredibly hard and I'm 100% going to give it my best shot. But I feel like I've taken away some of that angst and some of that fear surrounding that performance.
It's the old John Candy Cool Runnings line, which I think I've heard you use before, Kate. If you're not enough without a gold medal, you'll never be enough with it. So that makes perfect sense. Could I ask you, just on the Olympic cycle, while he was talking about that before, how much time do you spend thinking about the Olympics, like from 3 years away, 2 years away? Is it just sort of, obviously that's the end goal and you're tapering and doing all your training towards it, but how much time do you actually mentally spend thinking about the Tokyo Games?
Not a lot at all, really. I'm kind of just focusing on the next thing I need to do. If I start thinking about the Olympics, I've kind of taken my eyes off what I need to do in the moment. So, you know, at the moment, I need to focus on continuing to race well, and then when I get back into training, it'll be about the preparation. I actually haven't qualified for the Olympic Games yet, so we have selection trials only in June of next year. So only 5 weeks before the actual Olympics can I say that I am going to an Olympic Games. And the selection trials are probably more stressful than the Games itself, and anything can happen there. You know, I'm in my event, the 100 freestyle, out of the top five girls in the world this year, three of them are from Australia, and there are only two positions available for that Olympic team and those individual Olympic spots. So in no means am I just a walk-in onto the team. I definitely have to earn it. And so for me, it's about making it through this weekend and then coming back to Australia and then putting in a really good prep and making sure that I'm in top form to actually qualify for the Olympic Games, and only after I've achieved that can I begin to focus on it. So, I think that if I just kind of sat back and said, oh, you know, I've got, I think it's 247 days until the game. So it's ages away, not a worry. then you'd be inclined to sit back and put your feet up, which is not the best training method.
Kate, it's so amazing hearing you speak about all this and the focus that it takes and the time you spend. You spoke a little bit about when you do reflect back on your career, whenever that comes, when you do finish swimming. Is there time amongst all that to do something else? Is there, what else is there space for, and how do you kind of have one eye on what comes next? Because that is often a challenge for athletes.
Yeah, it is, and it's something that I'm actively preparing for. I'm very, very slowly getting through a media and communications degree. I'm not sure if I'm going to work in that industry, but it's just something to keep my brain occupied, yep. Because staring at a black line for 4 hours a day is not the most mentally stimulating thing you can do. I think that I'm actively looking for things outside of swimming. But I'm also aware that it is going to take time and it is going to be hard. I think that I'm in a very fortunate position where we've seen a lot of ex-sports people and particularly a lot of ex-swimmers who have come out and been really open and honest about the struggles of retirement. Because you have to remember, we go from being the best in the world at what we do to either just having like a university qualification or some people don't even have that. So we have very few practical skills, and we're quite, overachievers, and we like to be good at what we do. We all have quite healthy egos. And so to be suddenly at the bottom of the barrel can be like someone's really punctured your balloons and you're all a bit deflated. But also, we're also very goal-oriented. Since I was, I decided I wanted to go to the Olympics since I was 9 years old. So since then, I've always had a goal and I've always had a focus and I've always had something to work towards and something to put my energy towards. And suddenly, when you retire, that goes away and you have to find something else. So I'm very fortunate that people have been so open and honest about their struggles. And I'm in touch with many retired swimmers who have said, when the time comes and you want to eventually hang up your swimmers for good, please reach out. We're here. And there's a whole community and a whole network that are waiting for you now, which I think, particularly when they went through it, didn't really exist.
Well, you've got a whole country supporting you, Kate, in the build-up to the Tokyo Games. We love the way you present and you talk about your sport with such energy and passion. We hope you get a wonderful build-up to Tokyo and the qualifications that are ongoing or upcoming. And we wish you the best of luck in London this weekend, and been a pleasure to have you on our program this morning. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.